There's a story about a fellow that only went to church twice a year. And he said, you know, you Christians, you're very boring. You have two things you talk about. Jesus was born. Jesus rose from the dead. He only went Easter and Christmas, right? He said, yeah. Guess what we're going to talk about? Jesus rose from the dead. We've been working through the Gospel of Luke, and I'm jumping ahead a few chapters. We didn't quite time it right. There's just too many good things in Luke to do. But, so we're going to look at Luke chapter 24. I hope I got that one right last time. I said, no, maybe you got the wrong chapters. They love it when I make mistakes. I mean, both times in 25 years, it was... I remember. Yeah. So, talking about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're first just going to read the narratives that talk about it. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. You know, I was probably a very small child the first time I heard the story of the resurrection of Jesus. And for many years in my life, it didn't, you know, take hold in my heart. It didn't take hold in my life, but I knew the story. And here these ladies, they come and they you know, go to the tomb. The stone is rolled away. They look in and the tomb is empty. And the angels come and speak to them and tell them, "Jesus told you this was what was going to happen." Then the ladies run back to the other fellas. When they came back from the tomb and they told these things to the 11 and to all the others, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. It's interesting. To some folks, the story of the resurrection is no more than a story. It's a testimony that we give, but to some folks, it doesn't really get into their hearts. It doesn't really get into their minds, and it does sound like nonsense. To people who don't understand God, who don't believe in God, who don't trust in God, the idea of someone dead rising up and ascending into heaven, or the idea of you rising up and standing before God after you've died. To a lot of our world today, that sounds like nonsense. It sounds ridiculous. So how do you raise somebody up that's, you know, been sitting in a tomb for 1,000 years? How do you raise somebody up who's, you know, been burned to ashes? How do you do such a thing? It sounds ridiculous to people who don't believe. These guys at first, and it's interesting that they had walked with Jesus, they had heard Jesus, they had seen the miracles of Jesus. They saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw so many different things, right? But still, when they heard the message of the resurrection, they couldn't believe it. It sounded like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves and went away, wondering to himself what had happened. It was a mystery to him. The idea of going in and seeing there were the grave cloths laying up by themselves, all folded up, you know. And it just seemed to him to be a mystery. But still, there's no sense of excitement. There's no sense of passion. There's no sense of, you know, this has changed the universe. This has changed the world. It's just a mystery, a story, something that they heard, the testimony of women. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. You know the idea of death, and many of us have faced death. We've seen it. We know the troubles of it, you know. And without Jesus Christ, without the good news, it is nothing but downcast, sorrow, an end, and darkness. And there's nothing beyond it. These fellas, unfortunately, at this time, they're walking down the road and their hearts are torn apart. Their faces are downcast because all they know is that the Savior that they thought was going to overthrow Rome and the Savior that they thought was going to make everything in this world better for them had been taken outside the city of Jerusalem like a criminal and crucified. And that they had seen his dead and limp and lifeless body, and they had laid it into a tomb, and now it's missing. And it was a heartache, a mystery, a darkness. No hope, just sorrow. And they walked along talking, and Jesus comes alongside of them. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us when they went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women said. But they did not see." Again, the testimony. They'd heard of the empty grave. They hoped that Jesus was going to give them a better life, overthrow Rome and make their lives easier. And that hope was dashed. They were confused. They were confounded. They were disturbed and troubled. They did not understand that, you know, Jesus had risen, and they didn't have the power of the resurrection in their hearts and in their lives. They just knew the story. They just knew the testimony. And Jesus then talks to them. "How foolish are you and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken? Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He would have turned to Genesis chapter 3 and he would have said, "Do you remember how when Adam fell and death came upon the planet, that God said he was going to raise up a child of the seed of the woman and that he was going to crush the head of the serpent? Don't you remember how Moses said that he was going to raise up a prophet that was greater than Moses and that anybody that listened to him would live? Don't you remember how David as a prophet spoke and said that God was going to establish a throne with his son on it forever? Don't you remember how he said in Psalms that they have pierced my hands and my feet and I can count all my bones? People stare and gloat at me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. In other words, he's going through the Old Testament and explaining to them all that God had said for hundreds and hundreds of years. He'd been telling them about how the Messiah was going to come and how he was going to be treated by people. He was going to be crucified. They were going to stab his hands and stab his sides. They were going to lay him in a tomb. And if you would have listened to it, he's trying to tell them, you would have understood that after he suffered, he was going to rise again from the dead. After he suffered, he was going to go and be with God in glory. That for a time, yes, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. He would have brought the scriptures to life as he's walking down this road. And he begins to open up their minds. He begins to open up their hearts to understand that, you know, indeed, maybe this isn't just a story. Maybe this isn't just something that the women talked about. Maybe those clothes being folded up in an empty tomb, or maybe those angels testifying really meant something. Maybe the world has changed. Maybe things aren't the way they used to be anymore. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. And they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Amen. You know, in order to understand the resurrection, in order to understand the story, there has to be a testimony that comes apart from the mouth of just a human being. You know, the women could tell you, "Oh yeah, Jesus rose from the dead." Even seeing the empty tomb didn't give them the power to recognize that God had changed the universe. But as soon as Jesus got close to them, as soon as Jesus made it real to them, as soon as Jesus opened their eyes to understand the scriptures, as soon as Jesus made the resurrection real to them, it changed their world, it changed their lives, it changed everything about them. For many, many years, I walked with understanding the story of the resurrection. I'd heard about how Jesus rose from the dead. But then one day, God, in his great mercy, in his tenderness, in his kindness, he gave me the Spirit of Christ. He gave me the power of Christ that testifies within me and tells me for absolutely certain, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has gone up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And there is no name above the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Only God can make the resurrection real in your heart. Only God can make that power of Christ enter into you. It is the central message of the church. They got up and they went back to the 11 and they assembled there and they said, "It's true." They finally knew. "It's true. We believe. The Lord is risen." And then Jesus appears to them there. Jesus told us in John, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. This has become the central message of the church. There is life in Jesus Christ. You know, as I watched my parents die within 9 months of each other and death became a real part of my world, I began to realize, you know, my time is next. I'm coming up, right? As that becomes a reality to you, it begins to make you really question and wonder about what's beyond. And it's the Spirit of God that testifies. It's the Spirit of Christ that tells me there's a king waiting for you. And there's a kingdom waiting for you. And there's a resurrection waiting for you. And that is the message of the church. The message of the church is there is hope beyond this world. There's hope beyond this present evil age. You won't find justice here. You won't find peace here. You won't find rest here. But God has a place of peace. And God has a place of joy. And God has a place of love. And God has a place of perfection. And it's in the kingdom of God. And everyone who confesses the name of Jesus is going to share in that great, powerful place and testimony of Jesus Christ. That's our message. We also know the power of the resurrection. Listen, how do you know? How do you testify? How do you show the power of the resurrection in your life? It's by how you live your life. Often on Easter Sunday, I ask the question, do you live? Do you live as though Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? In Romans 6, he says that, you know, we died with him and we were raised to new life, a new way of living, a new way of understanding the world, a new way of understanding our place, a new way of understanding what it means to be righteous, what it means to walk with God, what it means to walk with each other. The resurrection changes us. The power of the resurrection changes us. If you've only heard the testimony of the resurrection, if you don't know the power that transforms life, you don't know Jesus. May I say that again? If you don't know the power that transforms life, you don't know Jesus. I'm so tired of people trying to tell me, oh, I tried the church or I tried the gospel. You didn't try anything if it hasn't changed and transformed your world, because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the resurrection of Jesus, and it transforms life. It makes us better. It makes us different. And if you don't know that, you don't know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. If you don't know the power of transformation and the power of resurrection, that's why Jesus came. He came to give us power to live better lives. He came to make us the children of God. He didn't come to make us have a good time. He came to make us good people, the children of the living God, through the blood and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what he came for. That's what he came for. And every one of us who knows him knows that we've been raised to a new life and we are the children of God. And we confess this. We confess this. We confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? That means we confess that there is no other name, there is no other power, there is no other grace on this planet that measures up to who Jesus is. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And there's no way to the Father, and there's no way to the kingdom, and there is no way to righteousness apart from Jesus. We confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe in our hearts because of the testimony of the Holy Spirit, the testimony of God in us, Jesus is risen from the dead. Everyone who confesses and everyone who believes, they shall be saved. They shall be saved. They shall stand and go with him to be with him forever and ever. That power, that same power that rose Jesus up from the dead, that same power that transforms our life, that same power, the power of the resurrection, is inside of us, and it will raise us up from the dead. The power of Jesus Christ is in us, and it will give us a new body, a new life in the kingdom of heaven, so that it is said death is swallowed up in victory. Folks, our Lord is risen. There should be some excitement about that. There should be some joy about that. And there should be some life-changing grace about that. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he changed the universe. Before Jesus rose, people could walk around fumbling and bumbling and saying, I just couldn't do any better. I'm only human. God gave us a Savior, folks. God gave us a Savior, not in words, not just in testimony, but in power. The power of resurrection, it proved that He is the Son of God. It proved that He is the Savior, and it will give us life. It will give us life. When? Now. 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 Have you believed? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Is the Spirit inside of you saying, amen? Amen. 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 Or do you feel a little bothered right now? If you feel a little bothered, you probably don't know Jesus. And you need to call on His name. You know what? No one in this room knew Jesus till Jesus made Himself real to us. When we call on His name and we call on the name of Jesus and ask Jesus to make Himself known to us, He will make Himself known. You want to walk in new life, you want to walk in the power of the resurrection, Jesus died and rose so you could do that. You want to have hope in front of you instead of darkness and despair? Jesus rose from the dead to destroy despair, destroy the grave, and give us nothing but hope. Let's call on the name of Jesus. Let's call on the name of Jesus. Father, we come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You so much for such a great gospel. The gospel that says, without You, without Jesus, there's no hope. But in Jesus Christ, there's life. In Jesus Christ, there's transformation. In Jesus Christ, there's resurrection. In Jesus Christ, there's hope. In Jesus Christ, there is power. The power of the resurrection. And it can be in us. I pray for us, Almighty God, that the power of Your Spirit, the power that bears testimony to Jesus, would be in us and fill us, Almighty God, and make us certain of one thing. Our Savior lives, and our Savior is able to do all that He said that He would do. It's been declared because He rose from the dead. I pray for my brothers and sisters, for my friends here today, and ask God that You will help us. Help us, Almighty God, to have our hearts filled with faith, that we would believe in the resurrection from the dead, that we would believe in the resurrection of our Savior, and we would indeed seek the kingdom of heaven with all our hearts, Almighty God. Help us, Almighty God. Help us, Lord, with all that You provided. Help us, Almighty God. Amen. Matt, we're going to do He is Lord.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, and I can face tomorrow. Fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
He is Lord,
and He is Lord.
What
He is Lord, and He from the dead, and He is Lord, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Heavenly Father, Your Son said, all power is given to Me in heaven and in earth. Go out and make disciples, and teaching them how to obey My words, and I will be with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we thank You again,
Jesus,
that Lord Jesus is alive right now.
Yes.
And that He rules the entire universe, and He lives in our heart,
Jesus.
His believers.
Yes.
We thank You again, Heavenly Father, for the Lord. Even though we remember He rose from the dead,
Lord,
He's been alive ever since that day.
Yes.
But we just remember
Jesus
today.
Praise
again.
God.
So help them to believe,
praise
Father,
you
that Lord
Almighty
Jesus,
God. Praise
is
Jesus.
God, and that He saves.
Lord.
And that He has the power to do all the things He said, to forgive sins, to raise us from the dead.
Yes.
And most of all,
yes,
for
praise
those of us
God
who know Him and who want to know Him, to help us to live for Him today.
Yes,
yes.
Jesus, praise
so we ask You again, Heavenly Father, to help us to continue and give us the boldness to tell others about the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
How He is here alive today to save them.
Yes.
From their sins, so that they can live for Him.
Yes.
Amen.
We
thank
You again,
Jesus,
Father, for our dear, wonderful Savior who is praying for us even at this moment.
Yes.
In
Lord
Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. So there's a lunch across the street.